Hey, everybody, welcome to a Wednesday. Sadie Hansen is running for District 42 House. She's in the studio. We'll talk to her in a minute. Show today brought to you by the Spirit of America Bike and Car Show. It's the 2024 Red River Valley Motorcyclist Spirit of America Bike and Car Show, Saturday, April 13th and Sunday, April 14th at the Alaris Center. See a wide array of vintage automobiles and motorcycles. Tickets are only $10, with veterans and kids 12 and under free with a paying adult. There'll be live music, award ceremonies, a beer garden, and over $100,000 in multi-raffle ticket prizes, highlighted by a 2024 Harley-Davidson Road Glide Special, a Polaris Northstar Edition Ranger with trailer, and a 2024 golf cart. Net proceeds benefit Law Enforcement Memorial Park, Veterans Honor Flight of North Dakota, Minnesota, Journey Home Animal Rescue, Red River Valley Community Action, and many other local charities. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit the Alaris Center box office or go online to the website rrvmnd.org. All right, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call or text us. Our number here at the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Before we get going too far, let's do it. It's our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I don't know if we want to call this one a joke or not, but I'm trying to stay with the show, so it's a little political, all right? Here we go. You know, America is a country which produces citizens who will cross the ocean to fight for democracy. America's a country which produces citizens who will cross the ocean to fight for democracy, but they won't cross the damn street to vote. Isn't that something? And it seems like that happens all the time. Folks, it's a privilege. All right? It's a privilege. Get out and vote when the time comes. Here she is. She's in the studio. Welcome, Sadie Hansen. Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You were here, was it a year ago, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And you were running for what then?
UND student body president.
Okay. And did you win?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
No, okay. I did not win. But I did have another opportunity come up that year. I was appointed by Governor Burgum to serve on the North Dakota State Board of Higher Education.
Oh, okay. So. And you did that like 2 terms?
Yep, I'm in my second term right now, and first student to ever do that in the history of the role.
Wow, how about that? Give me a round of applause for that.
And, my term ends June 30th, so I'm making the most of it while I'm still on the board.
Okay, and are you still in school, or will you be done school this year, or how does that work?
So last May, I received 2 bachelor's degrees from UND, and okay. Then this May, I'll be graduating with my Master of Public Administration from
okay,
UND.
So you still go to class every day and all that kind of stuff?
In the evenings, yeah.
Oh, okay, so. Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Sadie. I don't want to know anything about politics right now. We'll get into that soon enough, but tell us about Sadie Hansen.
I was born and raised here in Grand Forks, went to school here, K-12, and attended UND, obviously. In my free time, I enjoy going out to my family's lake house on Golden Lake. It's about 45 minutes from town. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of family and friends in town. I just became an auntie about 3 months ago, and so that's been a lot of fun. So I like spending time, you know, with my brother and his baby, and I just live in the life here.
Okay, big question for you. Did you go to Red River or Central?
I went to Red River.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to know. I'm not going to hold that against you either.
No. I was the only sibling. So I have 2 siblings, and I was the only one who went to Red River.
Oh, is that right?
Honestly, I think it was one of the best experiences. It
kind of
elevated my interest in, you know, leadership being in honor societies there.
Yeah.
You know, it sparked my interest in being involved on campus at UND. So
yeah, and I shouldn't act like that, but my son went to Central, but at that time it was right after the flood. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of where we were located, we had our choice. And we hadn't lived here that long, and I had always thought from being out of town that Red River was the better school. I didn't know any better, you know. And I asked him, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to go to Central. And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. You can go there then. And so, yeah, that's the only reason I root for them a lot. former governmental affairs commissioner at UND in student government. Now, what is different from that to the North Dakota State Board of Higher Education?
So the governmental affairs commissioner, the role during a legislative session, their priorities entail going out and testifying at the legislature and, you know, lobbying on behalf of student issues. And on the State Board of Higher Education, I am one of 8 members, and I have a seat at the table. We govern all of the university systems. We hire presidents. We evaluate their contracts every time that they're up. We do a lot of policy work, too, and mm-hmm. So I've had the opportunity to be exposed to some of that. Additionally, I know this year we've had the opportunity to work with legislators on some issues that we're going to be addressing in the upcoming legislative session. So I've already had some exposure to that.
Sure.
And, we just had a board meeting last week in Minot. We meet every month as a board, and usually we rotate between the 11 institutions in the university system. So I've had the opportunity to visit all 11 during my first term, and mm-hmm. then now in my second term, I will have visited all 11 once again. So I think it's great to go see the different campuses and their unique offerings to students. They're all very different, and it honestly makes my appreciation for North Dakota and what we're doing, serving our workforce and recruiting and retaining people in our state. It's,
sure.
it's amazing to see the differences across the state and what each institution has to offer.
Now, I'm assuming you're fairly young, but you've been kind of around the political game for a while. I know you're doing stuff with Mayor Bochensky. You're also doing stuff with Mike Friedolfs. I know who's running, the carpetbagger, they're calling him, but he's not. But tell us what you do with both of these guys.
So I've been assisting with their campaigns. I'm Brandon Bochensky's campaign manager for his reelection as mayor. And Mike, I'm assisting him with, ordering his materials. Mm-hmm. And both of them are awesome guys to work with. It's honestly been a pleasure. Those are just 2 little jobs that I took on this semester, figuring I had enough time to do it.
Yeah.
But in the past, I've worked on campaigns. In 2018, I was an intern for the Republican Party, and that was when Kevin Cramer ran against Heidi Heitkamp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was actually 17 at the time, and they hired me on as a turf coordinator. And so my role was to coordinate with volunteers and go canvass. So during that election cycle, I actually made 30,000 plus voter contacts between doors and phone banking. And so I've been in the political atmosphere for a while, and I've helped with campaigns. And honestly, it's a passion of mine, and seeing positive change is honestly what I love about it.
And Mr. Friedolfs, when I say the carpetbagger thing, that's tongue in cheek. I'm just copying what somebody else said, repeating what somebody else said. I think it's a bunch of crap. You deserve to be doing what you're doing. Now, with all of the stuff, Sadie, that you're talking to me about, working with Bochensky, Friedolfs, the intern, all the stuff with UND, what you've done, was this all part of the grand plan for you? Did you kind of think way back in the day, because obviously you're 17 years old, did you think then with your foot in the door that, you know what, this might open the door for a life of politics for me? And if so, what the hell were you thinking?
No, honestly, at that point, when I was I was 16 when I was first a page at the NDGOP convention here in Grand Forks. And so I just saw, the atmosphere, and everyone was so passionate about it, kind of sparked my interest in it, and I ended up falling in love with it. I don't know why or how, mm-hmm. but because it's tough work. I mean, you can't please everyone.
No.
It's really hard to go out and canvass doors when you're getting spit on and people are yelling at you and slamming doors in your face. But I don't know. I just found a passion for that. I was really frustrated with the polarization in our country.
Okay.
And that kind of stemmed from the 2016 presidential election. Mm-hmm. At that point, I had been 15, 14.
Yeah.
And I just know it was heavily discussed in my family, and people were going back and forth at each other, and it's like, this isn't what our world should come to. Mm-hmm. I want to make positive change, and I want to support candidates who also have that same vision. And I ultimately did not plan to run for the legislature mm-hmm. this year. However, I think the timing was appropriate. Kind of all fell into gear, and just made sense to do it. And I think I've had a lot of support from, board members, family, friends, other political leaders across the state. And I think that kind of ultimately secured my decision in saying, I'm going to do this. So
what were you doing when you decided, Sadie Hansen, sitting there, I don't know if you're by yourself or whatever, or did you blurt it out and say, I'm going to run for District 42 House. What were you doing when you absolutely decided this is what I want to do? And obviously you told us why, but what were you doing? And who was the first person you told?
So honestly, the conversation started almost a year from like this upcoming June. So okay. In June of last year, I had discussed possibly running, but I wasn't sure. Again, the timing, it just had to be right for me. And then over the course of that year, you know, last year, 2023, I had conversations with several individuals just asking them, like, I need to decide what I'm going to do for a career, and I'm graduating in May. Do I go back to school? Because that's something that I'm considering, mm-hmm. is going to law school, not this fall, but next.
Sure.
And honestly...
Because you can't make your living, you know, with the house, obviously, but...
But it's public service. So, sure, you know, it's, I think the experience is worth it. The money may not be worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that...
I mean, unless you live in East Grand Forks, the council there just gives themselves raises when they want. So, I mean, that's all right, I guess.
But yeah, I honestly, so in our district we have... so I'm the chair of District 42, and I've been the chair for 5 years now. And in our bylaws, we were supposed to notify the chair 2 weeks prior to our endorsing convention, which took place last Thursday, of any, like, interest in running for a seat. And I was like, well, I can't really tell myself if I'm going to do this. Actually emailed our vice chair letting him know that I was going to do it. And I CC'd incumbent Emily O'Brien on that just because she's also – she expressed interest in running – and she's on our executive team as well. And so after that, the next day came about, and, you know, I was really contemplating, like, do I do this? I know I met the deadline. And then, honestly, it was that Sunday that I decided. And so that was a week and a half ago or so, 2 weeks ago, where I ultimately was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I got on the phone with House Majority Leader LaFleur. I spoke to the chair of the State Board of Higher Ed, and all of them, you know, and other people as well, but they were very supportive of my decision. And so ultimately I was like, I'm going to do this. Okay. So then my press release went out 3 days later.
All right. And we're going to talk more about some of this other stuff. Now, when you say the chair of District 42, what does that mean? What do you do? I was never really into politics until we started this thing. And now I'm deeply involved, and it's kind of funny. I'm way more involved, I think, with North Dakota and Grand Forks politics than I am. I'm not even a resident of North Dakota. I live in Minnesota, but I hate our politics, so I might as well get involved with this. But what does it mean being the chair of District 42?
Yeah, so I am kind of the spokesperson for the district party. I attend state committee meetings, so I serve on the state committee alongside all the 47 other district chairs. And we attend meetings up to like 3 a year. I know this upcoming weekend we have the state convention. So I'm kind of the point of contact for people in District 42 who want to attend and be delegates. And I coordinate with the people who want to be involved in the district, host meetings.
Where's the convention?
The convention is in Fargo.
Okay.
So there'll be a lot of people down there. It's at the Shack on campus.
Oh, sure. Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the statewide candidates who have been everywhere, I would say, on Facebook and email and text messages even. But yeah, so I kind of just do a lot of that, you know, work. But then I also have an executive team that assists me with some of that. But for the most part, it's a pretty maintainable role. You know, it's a volunteer position. Mm-hmm. And so I put in the work, and I've enjoyed it since I started 5 years ago.
Okay. Are you ready to go live in Bismarck for how much time of the year if you are to win?
I have a lot of relatives out there.
Oh, okay, so that helps.
I actually make it out to Bismarck quite often, being on the state board as mm-hmm. it is. And so it's nice to always catch up with family out there, but also just colleagues. You know, I've made a lot of connections through my involvement, and it's good to catch up with people. Even people on like BSC's campus.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of good connections out there that it's always fun to see them and meet up with them when I'm in town. So
sure. All right. You seemed like you were a little nervous when you got here today. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sadie Hansen running for District 42 House is in the studio today. We've got a lot more things to talk about, but first let's take a little break and let's hear from one of our sponsors today. Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli.
If you've got an event coming up or maybe just want to treat your employees, check out Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. This is no run-of-the-mill deli either. They're a company of passionate people who work together to create craveable food and memorable service that you will not forget. The breakfasts are incredible and served all day. Box lunches and dinners, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free. And even last-minute events, Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli uses only the freshest ingredients with chef-inspired, bold, adventurous flavors where everything is made to order. Contact them at SmilingMooseDeli.com or call 701-757-DELI or stop in at 623 South Washington with the details and let them do the rest, where they'll be sure to decide the perfect menu tailored to your needs. Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. We don't just cater your event, we cater to you.
All right, we are back. Sadie Hansen, running for District 42 House, is in the studio today. Give her a little round of applause. Okay, so my phone started going off the hook this past weekend, and what happened at the endorsing candidate convention? I'm going to read the letter that was sent to me first, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to let you talk. But this was, dear ND GOP Executive Committee members, I am whoever, a resident of District 42 and a member of the District 42 Republican Committee. I'm writing to address concerns regarding the endorsing candidate convention held in Grand Forks Thursday, March 28th. I was notified about the endorsement of candidates for the 2024 election via email on February 27th, 2024, which, by the way, was my birthday, and received a reminder along with the current District 42 bylaws from Sadie Hansen on the day of the event. In accordance with Article 5, Section 4.4 of the District 42 bylaws, I ensured that I met the necessary voting privileges criteria, having paid my NDGOP dues in early February. The bylaws are attached. However, upon arrival at the convention, I was informed by District 42 candidate Claire Corey that there had been changes to the voting privileges. This was concerning, especially since it was not transparently communicated beforehand to all eligible candidates and district committee members. Now, the issue was highlighted in the attached notice of bylaw issue and letter from Andrew Nyhus. Now, many attendees were allowed to become District 42 committee members by paying dues at the door, bypassing the requirement to pay the dues as started or stated in our bylaws. Now, this change gave an advantage to candidates, especially Sadie Hansen, who's the chair of the District 42 and House candidate. I know of two candidates that told residents of District 42 to not come to the meeting because they had not paid their NDGOP dues 45 days in advance. Now, the meeting was experienced additional transparency and procedural issues. Secretary's identity was unclear. The meeting started late. Some District 42 executive committee members were absent from the convention, and not all of them are paid District 42 committee members, yet they are involved in district-wide decisions. Despite efforts to challenge the parliamentarian's appointment, the motion was unsuccessful. Subsequently, voting credentials were altered. Attempts to propose changes to accommodate all House candidates on one ballot were dismissed. The lack of clarity and adherence to established bylaws added to the confusion and dissatisfaction among attendees. Moreover, it was disconcerting to learn through the discussion at the convention that some of the District 42 executive committee members had been requesting the official bylaws from the chair, Sadie Hansen, and was told by another executive committee member that the bylaws were sent in the year of 2020. 4 years ago. Now, looking back, had the chair shared notice of the bylaw issue and Andrew Nyhus' letter had been shared with all attendees prior to the endorsement convention, it could have facilitated a more constructive decision. The events of the evening were regrettable for our Republican Party. In hindsight, I believe a motion should have been made for all candidates to collect signatures to be on the primary ballot and not be endorsed, ensuring fairness and adherence to the same value or the same rules. Thanks for your attention to this matter and hope that the state NDGOP Executive Committee can clear this matter up immediately. What is this all about, Sadie?
Yeah, so the District 42 Republicans have bylaws that we follow to hold the meetings that I had previously mentioned that we hold. And in order to participate in the candidate endorsing event that we held, District 42 members must have paid their dues prior to participating. However, we do have a clause stating that the NDGOP dues must be paid 45 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this had kind of been an ongoing issue that the party had shared with us and that I had expressed to members of the committee. However, in attempting to change that and fix that to allow for it to be, you know, updated in our bylaws. I didn't really have that opportunity. You know, I was kind of shut down multiple times when attempting to do that. I do know that we did receive a letter from the executive director of the NDGOP, quite literally at, I believe it was 3:23 p.m. And the event took place at 6 p.m. and I had arrived shortly after 5 p.m. So there wasn't a huge time gap between when I received the letter and when the event took place. And so I printed out copies of it and brought it to the meeting. Since the party informed us that the district that the state party was unable to provide an accurate list, we wanted to make sure that process was fair. And so essentially we weren't able to enforce that rule. So the NDGOP uses a database called Crimson, and they had experienced issues with it, as stated in the letter, since early February. And when I had connected with the person who is in charge, which is the executive director of the data, he had informed me that they wouldn't be able to track when people paid their dues, and for that matter, who paid their dues, because when I had seen a list that was being circulated through the district, that list had members from other districts on it. And so the accuracy of the list was concerning. I didn't want to disenfranchise people as they showed up, because if they did pay their dues, or if their dues were in a stack of batches that the NDGOP hadn't maybe opened yet, all the dates were messed up. And so there was no way to actually know when people paid their NDGOP dues, let alone figure out if they did pay them, because I know that there's people who were missing on that list that have paid them as well. And so I didn't want to turn away voters. I wanted to allow for participation, because ultimately I couldn't enforce that rule. And so that's kind of where the concern came from. And as for, you know, the three members of District 42 who were interested in the House seat, our bylaws state that each seat be voted on separately. And so with that, you know, we couldn't do all three and then top two, you know, vote getters win and move on. You know, it's each seat is separately voted on, the Senate seat and each House seat.
Okay. You mentioned trying to make the process fair. I've had people talk to me that say the process was not fair. Was it?
I mean, I was, you know, I was doing the best I can. You know, I personally, I don't think the process would have been fair if we enforced that rule, because the lists were not accurate. And again, even the timestamps on when certain people said they paid their dues could not be accurate. You know, it couldn't be proven as to when so-and-so paid their dues. And again, the lists that I received from the NDGOP were missing members. And so how was I supposed to verify that this person who says they paid their dues did actually pay their dues? And so our district has other requirements that they're supposed to meet in order to participate. And it's, you know, you're living in the district, you're 18 years or older, you're an American citizen, and that you've paid your district dues, mm-hmm. in addition to the NDGOP dues. So all of the people who were able to participate had met all those other criteria. You know, they weren't just Democrats coming in and voting. They didn't, you know, they had to pay to the district party before they could cast a vote. And so ultimately, again, I think that was the most fair way to go about it. I know, again, I received the letter about an hour and a half before I planned to be at the event. And so there wasn't anything on my end that I was like, you know, I've been accused of calling people and telling people to show up. Long before that, I had already talked to my family and friends, mm-hmm. to show up. And a lot of my family and friends who did show up weren't even eligible to vote. You know, I didn't tell them to not come just because you can't participate. I'm like, yep. Come and spectate.
Well, because people, they don't have to be in District 42 to go, but no. They can't vote, and they didn't vote.
And they didn't attempt to vote either.
Okay, okay.
So they knew, you know, I live in a different district. I'm mm-hmm. not going to try and get a ballot. And so I was happy to see that I had such a great turnout in terms of like who was there to mm-hmm. support me, because this is something that is new and exciting for
right.
me, and,
sure.
and they
sure.
wanted to support me. So,
when did that? I'm looking at the notice of bylaw issue, and this was from you. Was this, when was this released?
So I typed this up as soon as I received the letter.
Which would have been that day when that you said day, you got like a couple hours before.
Literally like less than 2 hours before I planned to attend.
Okay, that was just a couple hours before the candidate convention.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to read the letter or can we read it? Do you mind?
Yeah, I mean, you can read it for sure. I can read it.
Okay, I'll read it. Just we'll get it done here. To the esteemed members of District 42, recent developments, as communicated by the North Dakota Republican Party, have resulted in a section of our bylaws to be unenforceable. Specifically, Article, is that 5? Yeah. Section 4, Line 4, party has been deemed unenforceable due to the inability of the North Dakota Republican Party to verify the stipulated requirement. Now, the North Dakota Republican Party has informed us that it is unable and unwilling to release the date list due to quality issues. Specifically, the party sites or the party city's ongoing problems with its membership software, Crimson, which you said, which prevented it from providing the necessary validation for certain dates. Moreover, the software has demonstrated several shortcomings in correctly categorizing members into their respective districts. Consequently, individuals who have paid may find themselves incorrectly assigned to districts, rendering them unverifiable. Now, the issue is exemplified by previous data set containing members from other districts within our own. The party has clarified that this list, while erroneous, was not intended for public dissemination and was released inadvertently by a staff member unaware of the situation. Please refer to the attached communication for the letter from the party. Rest assured, we'll remain steadfast in upholding the integrity of our party convention and will diligently enforce all enforceable bylaws to their fullest extent. Thank you for understanding and continued support in these matters. Warm regards, City Hansen, District 42. Me not knowing a whole lot about this stuff, and I'm not taking any sides here, believe me, it sounds like there was a mistake, and you're are you apologizing for this? What is, in a nutshell, what do you think the letter means?
To me, it was more so, this is the information that I received today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to let you all know that, you know, the integrity of our district party is important to me.
Sure.
However, I can't enforce a rule that I don't have the proper data for. And so this was more so just notifying people, this is what's happened. Yeah. You know, I, at the event, was checking people in, so was hoping that, you know, by reading this letter, I wouldn't have to go in depth on explaining exactly the situation. But again, you know, this has been an ongoing issue, mm-hmm. so people were familiar with the problem. But also, you know, I guess the executive director of the NDGOP told me, I'm sorry, Sadie, but, you know, this is my fault, and this is not something that, you know, he's like, I'm more than happy to take the blame for it because this is something that I couldn't even control. And I said, okay, so, you know, kind of how do I go proceed and mm-hmm. go about this? And so I, you know, printed out the notice and I printed out the paper and provided it to every attendee. And this is something that's completely out of my control. And again, making the process fair, if there's something external that we're working with to mm-hmm. ensure that people are qualified, you know, I don't think that if there's this many errors in their system, should we be, you know, enforcing that rule? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I don't think so, because how are we supposed to know who is a qualified elector?
Yeah.
You know,
is any of this your fault?
I mean, I was as transparent as I could be about it. Again, I received the letter shortly before the mm-hmm. meeting. And so, you know, I didn't go out and make phone calls to people beforehand, like trying to get them to show up.
Yeah.
Anyone was welcome to attend. And I didn't turn away any voters, essentially. And so as long as they met the criteria, I wasn't.
And see, this is so hard for me because I I can't take sides here. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with a lot of you people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take sides. Well, I can't, but not know. I've had people try to explain more to me and I don't want to know. I really don't. I mean, I need to know enough to have a show like this, but if the shoe was on the other foot, would you be angry right now?
Honestly, I think I would have understood the problem.
Okay.
And I would have, you know, if I would have lost the endorsement, I would have taken it upon myself to collect signatures and go to the primary. I wouldn't be complaining. At the end of the day, I think these are people who are upset that they lost the endorsement convention. And mm-hmm. I also think that, you know, being that they lost at a 2-to-1 ratio is, you know, safe to say they already kind of had a plan. They had been collecting signatures previously before the meeting had started. And yeah, at the end of the day, I would have just gone to the primary.
Okay. And here's the letter. I think, is this what you were talking about from Andrew Nyhus? Is that how you say his name? Nyhus?
Nyhus, yep.
Okay. Dated 28 March. Sadie Hansen, District 42 Chair. This letter is to inform you and your district committee that due to issues with our donor database, Crimson, we're unable to provide an accurate list of members of the North Dakota Republican Party from your district. We at the NDGOP headquarters discovered a pattern of anomalies in member donor geography. The anomalies led us to inquire with Crimson whether the district maps were updated in good order. That inquiry was made in early February. Crimson informed us that there is indeed an issue with the maps and that it cannot be resolved prior to our state convention. Additionally, the timestamps on state party dues payments are not accurate and in almost every case show a significant delay from the date of actual payment. Now, this letter serves no purpose but to inform you of these facts as you deliberate how to proceed with your district business, as your bylaws appear to rely on the aforementioned data. Thank you for your service to the NDGOP. Sincerely, Andrew Nyhus, Executive Director, North Dakota Republican Party. Again, another letter that really doesn't say squat, does it? I mean,
well, and you know, I as the chair appointed a parliamentarian to, you know, ensure that we were following our bylaws and North Dakota law, mm-hmm. In how we proceeded in the meeting. And you know, he's qualified. He was the one who said this is unenforceable. And the letter, I mean, even though it may not say a ton, it does, you know, address the issue at hand. And, you know, in my best interest and in the district's best interest, I felt as though it would not be fair to enforce the rule of having paid their dues 45 days prior to the NDGOP because of the fact that they did not have any accurate data for when people paid their dues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't want to disenfranchise people when they showed up. However, the people who, you know, kind of had a plan and invited their, you know, 11 people or whoever, they wanted to turn away people. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair either. You know, if people are wanting to be involved, we should let them be involved as long as they meet the requirements. And there were still people involved who didn't meet the requirements, and they showed up and they cheered on their candidates who they were there to support. And I think, you know, we had a pretty good turnout. However, I was just disappointed in how certain people were, you know, making wrongful assumptions about me and accusing me of doing things behind their backs mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. this isn't a problem that has been made aware to the people in the district. And I was doing my best to enforce every part of the bylaws that were mm-hmm. enforceable. So.
Okay. Now, stuff like this happens all the time. Excuse me. Maybe not so much in politics, but similar stories. All of this stuff we're talking about, and we're going to get off of this subject here real soon, but all of this stuff we're talking about, does any of this benefit you, Sadie Hansen?
I mean, I received the endorsement, mm-hmm. but I was also collecting signatures okay. in the event that I didn't. And I think every candidate was. So ultimately, you know, I think the benefits of being endorsed are you get access to the state data systems.
Sure.
But even then, it's like you still have to win in the primary to move on to the general. So it doesn't honestly really matter, in
okay.
my opinion. I attended, you know, I wanted to see if I would get the support, and I did. Again, like, the people who didn't get the support, they lost by a 2-1 vote. The people who were there, who were present, you know, they wanted to endorse me, and they mm-hmm. wanted to endorse incumbent Emily O'Brien, and they wanted to endorse Dustin McNally in the Senate. And that's up to their, like, that's their decision. Regardless of how that turned out, I still, you know, would have done my part by getting on the ballot for the primary. And I'm still going to put in the work before the primary to earn the support of the people in District 42.
Okay. Question from a listener. Were NDGOP dues collected at the door, and people were turned away at the doors? Yes or no, the first one, and true or false, the second one. Were NDGOP dues collected at the doors?
NDGOP dues were not collected at the door because NDGOP dues per the bylaws would have had to have been paid 45 days in advance if we were enforcing that rule.
Mm-hmm.
We struck out that rule because it was unenforceable. People were, however, able to pay their district dues, so
okay.
the local District 42 dues, at the door because there was no requirement as to when they had to pay those in order to participate.
And you guys didn't know about that till just hours before.
Yeah.
Okay. People were turned away at the doors. Is that true?
That's false.
Okay.
I did not turn a single person away at the door. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'm done with this unless it wasn't struck out before the meeting was said. We'll see if anybody else texts it. I don't know what that means. It wasn't struck out before the meeting.
I'm not sure.
Okay. What are your priorities for Grand Forks? What are your priorities for the West End?
Yeah, so obviously being on the State Board of Higher Education, I'm very passionate about educational mm-hmm. opportunities. And in addition to that, even being on the board, we talk a lot about workforce and fulfilling workforce across our state. And so some of my priorities in terms of how I want to go about that is, you know, advocating for education mm-hmm. Across all levels, K-12 and higher ed. In addition to that, you know, I'm deeply rooted in Grand Forks. Being born and raised here, you know, I care about my community, and I want to be a strong advocate for Grand Forks. I want to provide fresh perspective and new ideas. Also, again, like I mentioned earlier, the polarization in, you know, not only the Republican Party, but also just in the nation, you know, the Republican Party in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. I find it very frustrating because I tend to see people working against each other more so than working with each other.
I think North Dakota is a lucky state myself.
Well, and I
be surrounded by all these Republicans. Are you kidding me?
I think we're fortunate. But, you know, I think people get tied up over issues that they're mm-hmm. very passionate about. Right. And then, you know, we lose sight of, you know, the purpose of what they're doing. And so ultimately, I want to work with people. I don't want to work against them. Yep. I want to accomplish positive change for our community. Again, with the education standpoint, I think higher ed, in terms of what opportunities lie there, you know, there's scholarships, state grants that the state, you know, hands out to students. And I think expanding those opportunities to keep students here, not only recruit them, but also retain them in our state upon graduation, I think is really important to fulfill all of these workforce shortages that we're hearing about, especially in Western North Dakota mm-hmm. on oil rigs yep. and, you know, the energy sector. And so I would love to capitalize on my knowledge and background in higher ed and also being just a staunch advocate for Grand Forks. I think, capitalizing on that and taking it and running with it out to Bismarck is kind of what I'm rooting for here. Yeah. So
are you pounding on doors? Are you knocking on doors? Are you getting your face out there?
Yeah, I am. I have, you know, like I said, I had collected petition signatures and I'm still going around door to door, just meeting with voters and hoping that I can, you know, be the candidate that they want to support. I've had the opportunity to connect and talk to 200 plus. So, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and I've had a lot of really great conversations with people. I'm trying to get a gauge for, you know, what the district, you know, really feels about mm-hmm. certain issues. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that I'm representing District 42. You know, I don't have a hidden agenda. I don't, you know, I just want to make sure that I can go out there and do so in good faith for people who live in District 42. And
so if you were to have a yard sign out there, you could have one sentence on it. What would you say to the voters of Grand Forks to vote for you? Just one sentence on a yard sign. What would you say?
I
mean to put you on the spot, but
I would say bringing fresh perspective to Bismarck.
Okay.
So.
Would you be, and this was brought up to me actually by Mayor Bochensky mm-hmm. About possibly having debates on Grand Forks Best Source, and I never thought up until now this would be an issue, but if this was ever to happen, would you ever come back for a debate?
I am all in for a good debate.
Okay. That's awesome. That's good to know. I know that I hopefully you don't think I brought you in here to try to throw you under the bus, because that's the last thing on my mind. I try to be the fairest guy I can. I mean, when you're friends with a lot of people, it's hard to do. It's like being friends with a married couple and they get divorced. You still got to be friends with them.
Yep.
Both of them,
yep.
You know, and it's hard to do. So I don't know if I'm going to be friendless or more friends when this show is done. But I think that would be great. I wish you well, and I wish you luck on this. I know you got a long haul ahead of you here, but keep pounding on the doors and keep doing all that. And we might get back to you for a debate, something like that. All right. There you go. Sadie Hansen. She's running for District 42 House. Folks, I tell you what, if you know anybody out there that wants to run for local government, whatever it be, Grand Forks or East Grand Forks, go ahead, email us local@gfbestsource.com. local@gfbestsource.com. Send us an email. We will try to get you on the show. You know what? Maybe like Sadie said, you know, maybe it's time for some new blood. I know it is over on my side of the river. So again, thank you, Sadie Hansen, for coming coming in. And our show today, by the way, brought to you by the Indoor Racer Showcase.
Join Grand Forks Best Source Saturday, April 6th for the 6th annual Indoor Racer Showcase at Home of Economy in Grand Forks. You'll see sprint cars, late models, go-karts, and more. See your favorite drivers like Mark Dobmeier, Jack Croker, Brendan Mullen, the Peterson family, and others too. This free event is open to the public and all ages are welcome. Enjoy spiced pork burgers, brats, and baked beans served by the Grand Forks Central Wrestling Team for a free will offering. There'll be reps from Beers Black Dog Barbecue, Casa M Spice, Dakota Don's Artesian Waffles, Davis Seasoning, and Far Out Nuts. Mark it down on your calendar, Saturday, April 6th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the 6th annual Indoor Racer Showcase at Home of Economy in Grand Forks.
All right, and again, thank you to Sadie Hansen running for District 42 House for being on the show today. Thank you, people that texted and called in with your questions. Boy, I tell you what, Dirty Thursday tomorrow brought to you by River City Speedway. We've got a couple of legends coming in. Tommy Hofflin, facilities manager, and Scott Iverson, head of concessions at River City Speedway. Yeah, I told you a couple of legends coming in. They're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be talking about new stuff, new food, new upgrades, and just getting geared up for the season, all right? Hey, everybody, remember to like, share, tag, and follow us, all right? Hit the notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show. We know the Grand Cities are grand. Grand Forks Best Source is giving them an identity again.